أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز وعباد الرحمن صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله. We are continuing on our transformative and beautiful journey from understanding that we need to change from the abid to the ibad, and from the ibad we need to become to ibadur rahman. And this is a very, very sacred and beautiful journey of the khas, special people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Up until now, what we have done is we have understood what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants or instructs the ibadur rahman to do. Ibadur Rahman, they are humble. This is something that they are doing. The Ibadur Rahman, they are dignified in the way that they communicate. The Ibadur Rahman, they are in a state of prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are in a state of sajda, in sujood, in bowing to Allah azza wa jal. The Ibadur Rahman are pleading, calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Ibadur Rahman are earning in a halal way and spending in a moderate and a balanced manner. So all of these are the actions of what the Ibadur Rahman do, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to do. Now today we will learn the command of Allah azza wa jal when He tells them not to do something. So up until now they do this. And now don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. And from the beauty of the Sharia, from the beauty of our deen of Islam, is that 80% of our deen is do this. But only 20% or so of our deen is don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. So we as Muslims, if we can just practice the 20%, the 80% will automatically be done by us by default. Why? Because it's part of our fitrah. It's part of the natural way of living, which is speaking the truth, being honest, being kind, being compassionate, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these are part of our fitrah, our innate nature. So if we do the things automatically and just keep away from the 20%, then we will be very, very successful. So up until now, Allah Azza wa Jal has told us that all of these things that the Ibadur Rahman do, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular verse is telling us what they do not do, and then vis-a-vis what we should also not do. So this verse today is, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَى عَثَامًا يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. There are three distinct things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is what they do not do. So the first thing is that they do not call, they do not invoke anyone else, any deity, any being, any other thing except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not call anybody apart from Allah azza wa jal. Neither do they kill or harm any other individual without any just cause. And neither do they commit any form of adultery or fornication, fahsha. These are the three things that they do not do. And inshallah, today we will unpack one of these, and inshallah we will unpack the remaining in the following few weeks. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was once asked by a sahabi, what are the three major sins? Not the minor, but three major sins. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, the biggest sin that any person in creation can ever do is to associate a being, a partner, a deity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst Allah azza wa jal is the one who has created you. Allah azza wa jal, who has created us, fashioned us, given us life, given us this beautiful weather, this country, the air that we breathe, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst you know that, and then you go and you associate a partner with Allah azza wa jal, this is the biggest sin that you can ever do. And the second sin, the major sin the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, is to kill your child or any other person out of fear for you, that they may share your food. Now we see the entire countries are going to war and killing hundreds and millions of people. Why? because they want the resources, they want the minerals, they want all of these things. They fear that they will suffer, so they want to kill other people. And the third thing the Prophet ﷺ mentions, which is there also in the Quran, to commit adultery. But here specifically, the Messenger ﷺ mentions to commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. With your neighbor's wife. So these are the three major sins, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse, that Ibadur Rahman, they never do shirk. They never do any form of polytheism, calling on to any other deity, neither do they harm or kill any other individual for fear for themselves, or fear for food or anything else, and neither do they commit any form of adultery. So Tawheed, which is what we're going to focus on today, insha'Allah al-Aziz, this is something that is the most precious thing that we can have. More valuable than your gold, than your silver, than your cars, than your property, than your wealth and everything else. More valuable even than your parents and your children. Why do I say this? Because what did the Sahaba Ikram used to say? Fidaka ummi wa abi ya Rasulullah. That may my mother and may my father be sacrificed. Why? Because they realized how important the Tawheed was, and to protect the Tawheed of the Deen of Islam. So what, when we are first born and we come into this world, what is the first thing that we hear? We hear the Azan, the beautiful Azan, which is a reminder that Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That indeed Allah Azza wa Jal is the greatest. He is our creator, He is our fashioner, He is the one who has given us this life. And the very last thing that we hear when we returned again is the takbir, then where people are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we return to Allah azza wa jal. When we are on our deathbed, what do we do and what do we say to those people? When you go and visit them, we sit next to them and we quietly, or in a nice tone or a nice voice, humble, we say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is what we repeat to ourselves to help the people who are on their deathbed to remember, to remind them that this is the most important thing that you can return back with to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our beginning is with the takbir, with the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. When we are dying, we are reminded of the kalima. Again, when we pass away, people are proclaiming the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our entire life, when we are born, when we live and we die, it is all on tawheed. This is the most important thing that any single person can have. It is more precious than anything that you can ever imagine, to have a pure heart, a pure tongue with which you will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla created us in the most perfect way. Pure in every single way, a pure soul, a pure heart and a pure body. And when we return to Allah azza wa jalla, He expects the same thing. That I gave you this pure heart, this pure body, what have you returned with? What have you contaminated this heart with? What have you contaminated this soul with? With all of these other things, when you are following this particular idol, you're following this particular celebrity, you're following this particular individual, and you think they're everything. And we've heard people that this is, you know, this is my God, this is my this is my that, and everything they do fida and they sacrifice over that individual. So Tawheed is the core of who we are and our identity. It is the core of our deen, which is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is Tawheed. This is what the entire deen is based around. If you take away La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, then nothing else matters. Your salah doesn't matter, your zakat, your hajj, your sawm, nothing else matters if you take away La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So this is the most important thing and valuable thing that we need to conserve, protect and nurture. Unfortunately, our children, their iman is weak. Our own iman is weak, and it constantly fluctuates throughout the year. In Ramadan, our iman is very different to outside of Ramadan. During Hajj, our iman is very different to outside the month of Hajj. So even our iman constantly fluctuates. But we need to make sure that we strengthen our iman and the iman of our children. Why? When our children go to colleges, when our children go to universities, what happens to them? They are exposed to all of these other things where they will say, drink and eat and sleep and do all of these sins, do what you want. Doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter, this is the world that they are exposed to. But if their iman is strong, then that is a shield for them, and they will remember that no, all of this distraction, this amusement is not worth me being burnt in the fire of hell, me being punished in my qabr. So iman is very, very important. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this verse mentions, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ. So now just imagine for a moment your own lives without La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. How would our lives be? It wouldn't be very much different than animals. Animals come, they graze, they eat, they sleep, they procreate, they do what they want. They have no restrictions, no rules, no regulations. They do what they want and then they die. Imagine now our lives, what would we do? We'd just be wandering this world from place to place. We'd have no goal, we'd have no purpose. We wouldn't really know how to eat, how to sleep, how to drink, and all of these things. It is our deen that gives us that constant stability. It is our iman that gives us that thing. Our iman tells us when we wake up in the morning, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our iman that takes us towards salah, takes us towards tahara and purity, takes us towards making sure our heart is clean, our tongue is clean. Our iman is the one that makes sure that we speak well to other people and that we be honest and upright in all of our affairs. Take away iman, now just let's put iman to one side. Take away all of the rules and regulations over here in the UK. Take away the police. Take away the legislation, take away the bylaws, take away every single thing. How do you think this society would operate today? It would be completely chaos. Everybody would be there just killing each other and doing whatever they want because there's no nizam. There's no control, there's no legislation. Similarly, insan without iman, without tawheed, he would just be wandering like this and just destroying and wasting his life. So iman is very, very important. If you want to see a better example, look at your life and how iman keeps you grounded, how iman keeps you humble, how iman keeps you a good human being, and look at the lives of the majority of non-Muslims. Because there are some people, even though they are good, but majority of non-Muslims, which is roughly at least 6 to 7 billion people in the world, look at their iman, look at the life of the non-Muslims. They work all week and they spend their money on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, it's gone. They don't care how they treat their parents or their elderly. They don't care about interest. They don't care about all of these other things. Their iman is something that protects us and guides us. Whereas if the iman of non-Muslims, you see without the iman, it destroys their life. And then those two people then go towards atheism. They go towards agnosticism. And then their lives carry on in this very, very dangerous spiral. So for them, it's just dunya, dunya, dunya. Or for our youngsters, all they say is YOLO, you only live once, so do whatever you want. But no, our iman is teaching us that no, we don't live once. We're going to return, there's a life in the qabr. We're going to return, there's a life of resurrection. We're going to return, there's a life in the hereafter. We'll be either rewarded or punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our iman, our tawheed protects us from this consumerism, from this secular society, from hedonism. It gives us all of those protections and those barriers. Whereas without La ilaha illallah, you have no filter, no restriction, and you do whatever you want, however you want. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that the Ibad al-Rahman, they do not and never call on to anything else apart from Allah Azza wa Jal. So you'll see people from various other religions, they take their cows, they take their monkeys as gods and deities. Other people are worshipping people, other people are worshipping the sun, the moon and the stars, or various other deities. But we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the independent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most powerful, the all-hearing, the all-seeing, the transcendent. Without any of these deficiencies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and only one. And we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with purpose. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that this is your purpose, whether you are jinn or insan, your purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the prophets that came, they came with the same message, that have this thing, if you want to take one thing back to your grave, one thing back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the most precious thing that you can take is your iman. Can you take your bitcoins? Can you take your money? Can you take your wealth, your properties? You can't take anything back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything to your grave. But the most precious thing that protects you and illuminates you in your grave and gives you success in your deen and your dunya is your iman, which is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. All of the prophets and messengers that came, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولٍ أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Every single prophet and messenger that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they all said the same thing, recognize and worship and only one Lord, an i'budullah, and keep away from all of these darknesses, all of these distractions, and all of these other things that people are going towards. Now, why is it that we see so many different things in society, so much chaos in society today? Because people, when they had their Lord, when they had their Iman, they were grounded and they knew exactly who they were, their identity, and what to do. Iman, Prophet, Sharia, live your life like this. Now, when you take away their Iman, and you take away the Risala, take away the Prophet, and you take away the book, people by their fitrah, which is the soul and the heart, still wants to look up to something. It still wants purpose and guidance. So what did the majority of society do? They have substituted the Iman of Allah Azza wa Jal, Iman of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and their deen, and they substituted it now for what? For celebrities. They follow them, they copy their hairstyles, they copy their clothes, and they worship them, and they do everything, they go pagal over them, they travel all over the world just to be with their celebrities. They'll spend so much money to go to their matches, or so much money just to wear the same clothes that they are wearing, and they'll do so much just to have, you know, liposuction and surgery just to look like their celebrities, to look like all of these athletes, etc. Because this is their substitution, taking away something which was pure and now substituting for something which is contaminated and something which is filthy. So the fitrah is still there. It wants to worship, but instead of worshipping the true Lord, they end up worshipping so many other deities. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that the most heaviest thing on the day of Qiyamah in your scales will be your kalima, which will be La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. In many, many ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that a person will come with 99 scrolls, and 99 scrolls will be opened up and it will be as far as the eye can see. All of those will be his sins, but on one side it will be just be his pure iman, which is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But because of that, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive that individual. People will be thrown into the fire of hell, but even if they had one small speck, what is a speck? A tiny thing, you can't even see it. Even if they had a small speck of iman, ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them out of the hell and put them in Jannah. Why? Because they still had that speck of iman. So the iman, if you weigh it, it is way beyond all of the luxuries and the wealth and everything else here in the dunya. And we need to really make sure that we protect our iman, especially the oneness and the tawheed, the monotheism in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be very, very careful in committing shirk, whether open shirk or whether hidden shirk. Many times, unfortunately, I hear people and they say, oh, this person gave me a child, this person just did this for me, or did that for me. It is no, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the one who can give you life, who can give you a child, who can give you success or anything. It only and solely comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not from any individual. And similarly, people sometimes, they become so engrossed within themselves, makita, I've done this, I've achieved this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen that person who takes his own desires, takes his own ego, and makes it into a god, that he thinks he is it? Some people think other people are it and they follow them wherever they go. Other people think they themselves are it and they follow themselves. But no, we only follow La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And I want to come on to what the iman is here, especially the kalima, the tawheed. What is zulm? If somebody were to ask you what is zulm, we might say it is oppression. It is to harm somebody. But zulm in the Arabic language means to take something from its correct place and place it in its incorrect place. Okay? It is a darkness, it is a form of injustice. To give someone else the right of someone else. For example, I took this glass of water and you know belonged to Khalid Saab, but instead of giving it back to Khalid Saab, I gave it to somebody else. Or we know zulm in Pakistan, which is they take the zameen of somebody and they say, this is my zameen now. Even though it is somebody else's zameen, it is their right, their haq, they've paid for it. But they take that land and they become without any right, without any justification, and they become their owners. This is zulm, to take something which is not yours without any right. Similarly, we do zulm with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the zulm that we do with Allah azza wa jal, which is when we associate a partner, any other being or deity with Allah Azza wa Jalla, na'uzu billah min zalik, which is zulmun azim. It is only the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped. It is only the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be recognized as Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the one who is the giver of life, the one who is everlasting, the one who is established, the one who is independent. It is only Allah's right. We cannot take Allah's right of worship, Allah's right of recognition, Allah's right of being called onto and give it to somebody else, whether it is a peer, whether it is a sheikh, whether it is another deity or the being or anything else. No, ibadah and worship, tawheed, is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you give that even 1 centimeter or even 1 millimeter to anybody else, then that is considered to be shirk. Luqman alayhi salam said to his son, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَيَعِزُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, that, oh my son, never ever do any form of shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because shirk is zulmun azim. It is the greatest zulm, the greatest injustice that you can do against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? He is the one who created you, who fashioned you, who gave you life, who gave you everything. And then you, instead of going to him, calling on to him, asking him directly and doing all of those things, you go to somebody else. Imagine now your mother, she gave birth to you. She carried you for 9 months in her womb. And she gave birth to you. She went through so much struggle. She brought you up, and your father did all of these things. Who has the right to be loved and respected and honored? It is your mother and your father. Imagine you don't give them any respect, but you go to some auntie or some neighbor or somebody else in the community and society, and you give them everything. It is zulm against your mother who gave you life. It is zulm against your father who brought you up. This is just the zulm of the dunya. What about the zulm that we do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we associate a partner or deity or anything else with Allah, na'uz billah min zalik, and we worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. One day he was riding with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to him, O young man, and remember, he's young, and this is an important reminder for our children as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, young man, I will teach you some words. Be mindful and remember these words very, very carefully. Be mindful, be conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, and He will take care of you and all of your affairs. Always remember, it is your Lord who has created you and fashioned you. Remember Him wherever you are, and He will always be there for your needs. Not run to this peer or that peer or this sheikh or X, Y, and Z. Turn to Allah. Be mindful of Allah, and He will give you whatever you want, and He will be at your side whenever you need Him. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, if you ask, i.e. if you need anything, ask Allah Azza wa Jal for your need, because nobody else can fulfill your need apart from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said to him, that even if all of humanity were to come together, all of the deities, all of the statues, all of the idols, all of the celebrities, all of the sheikhs and the peers, etc., and they were to come to help you, they would not be able to help you except by what the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if all of these deities and beings came together to harm you, they could never harm you except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want anything, if you need anything, who do you turn to? Turn only and solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important thing that we need to really make sure that we instill within our hearts and our minds, that tawheed is the most precious thing. That if the tawheed is contaminated, then everything else will be wasted. Everything else, our salah, our zakah, our hajj, everything else will be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if the tawheed is pure, no matter how weak it is, as long as it remains pure, it doesn't need to be 100%. Even if you have 70% or 60% or 50%, but it remains pure. It doesn't be contaminated whatsoever, then because of that tawheed, you'll be able to enter into the gardens of paradise. There's nothing more precious. If you just close your mind and ask yourself, what is the most precious thing? It may be your parents to you, maybe your property, your wealth, your business, your children, all of these things. None of these things are nothing in comparison to the pure tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa taught his sahaba ikram, do you know what the right of Allah azza wa jal is upon his ibad, upon his servants and his slaves? And they said, what is it? وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. That they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And they never do any form of shirk whatsoever with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شَيْئًا includes everything. And you know, sometimes we say, look, I went to the pub but I didn't drink anything. You know, people might walk past you and you're in the pub and you say, oh look, I just had an orange juice, I just had an apple juice, I wasn't drinking anything. But you don't want to be seen in that particular place or time. Similarly, you might say, oh, I only went to that mazar, I only went to here, etc. But outwardly, what does it look like? Inwardly, you know what your situation is. So make sure that you protect yourselves outwardly and inwardly from all of these situations and scenarios where people may assume that, wait a minute, you're doing this, or you're doing sajda to a qabr, or you're doing tawaf around a qabr of people. We see this. You have to keep away from all forms of external and internal forms of shirk, all forms of open and hidden forms of shirk. This is a very, very important. Otherwise, if this is how you are seen, this is how you are recognized, this is how you will be recorded before Allah Azza wa Jal. So pure tawheed means only calling on to Allah Azza wa Jal, only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never associating anything minor or major with Allah Azza wa Jal. We belittle, unfortunately, we belittle the issues of shirk. And I'll give you just a simple example. Horoscopes, we see it all the time. We see it on the phone, we see it in the news, we see it everywhere we go. This is a minor form of shirk, to believe in the horoscopes. Certain people, they read these horoscopes and then they, you know, do their day around this horoscope. Oh, this will happen or that will happen. This is a minor form of shirk. Why? Because ghaib is only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does this person who's writing this horoscope know you or who you are, know the ghaib? What is hidden, what is unseen, what is unwritten? How does he know any of this? And by you reading it and believing in it and having your day revolve around this particular horoscope, then you are committing a minor form of shirk. And this is a zulmi azim against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go to a fortune teller, and you might think, oh, this is just a bit of fun. We go on holidays and you go to these, you know, stalls and they say, oh, come here, I'll read your kismet, I'll read your hand, I'll read your mata, I'll do this, I'll do that. Or come here, I'll tell you, I'm a fortune teller. This is a major form of shirk. We don't think of these things, but these are minor forms of shirk are there. Reading a horoscope and believing in it. Major forms of shirk, going to a fortune teller and listening what he has to say. And then if you listen to that fortune teller, if you listen, just go to that fortune teller and just listen to him, then for 40 days your salah will not be accepted. 40 days your salah will not be accepted just for going there, sitting there and listening to him. And if you ever believed in that individual, then you've become a kafir. You have done kufr upon what was revealed to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You've done shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is there in the ahadith. I'm not making this up. It is there in the ahadith. Believing in these superstitions, or believing in these horoscopes, going to these fortune tellers, and then the bigger forms of shirk that people do, and going to qabrs and asking and doing all of these things, we need to be extremely, extremely careful. Your tawheed, your iman is very delicate, it's very pure. We cannot even for a moment allow any contamination to come into our iman, to come into La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Don't just think that tawheed and shirk is only when you do sajda to somebody. No. Tawheed and shirk comes in various forms. We need to be very, very careful, because if you, there's a form of riya as well. Riya is a minor form of shirk. What does riya mean? Riya means that you come to show off to people that you're praying salah. You show off to people that you're going on hajj and umrah again and again. You're not doing it for Allah. You're doing it to what? To show off to people, bara haji, bara namazi, bara muttaki, bara this, bara that, to show off. This is called riya in Arabic. And if you're doing that, this is a form of shirk as well. And what have you done? You've just done shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do you understand how important and precious and delicate our iman is? We need to be very, very careful to make sure that we keep protect ourselves from all minor forms of shirk and from all major forms of shirk, because the ibadur rahman la yad'una ma'allahi ilahan akhar. They never ever call unto any other deity or being whatsoever, whether intentional or unintentional, whether accidental, none whatsoever. They always maintain the purity of the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our children, they come to madrasa, they learn the kalima. They learn the kalima, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min an ushrika bika shay'an wa ana a'lamu bihi. That, oh Allah, I seek your refuge from knowingly or unknowingly associating a partner with you. Sometimes we say certain things and they're shirkiya kalimat or kufriya kalimat, and we say it unknowingly. But we have to be even careful in those things. And this is the Prophet ﷺ saying, oh Allah, I seek your refuge from knowingly and especially unknowingly, I accidentally saying something which becomes shirk, which becomes polytheistic, etc. So we need to be extremely, extremely careful, because the most precious thing that is there for us is our iman, our tawheed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim? A Muslim says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. A non-Muslim does not say that. A non-Muslims can do charity, can they? We do charity as well. A non-Muslim can also do various other forms of goodness in their lifetime as well. Those are those goodness that they do. But what distinguishes us from any other non-Muslim is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. We do not associate any partner, any deity, neither minor or major, and neither knowingly or unknowingly whatsoever to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we follow the sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the ibadur rahman, la yad'una ma'allahi ilahan akhar. We need to be very, very careful in this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from doing any form of shirk, minor or major, and keep us steadfast. And remember, we say again and again, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. This is it. There's nothing else. You don't need to go anywhere else. We only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single form of worship that you can think of, that is only for Allah Azza wa Jalla, exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa iyyaka nasta'in, and we only ask and seek the assistance and the help and the madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how it should be. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly and He will give it to you. We don't need to go anywhere else, because this is what Allah has taught us. We need to be very, very careful in any other form of associating with a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jalla protect us. For inshallah, next week we'll carry on with وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ and وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. وَقُولِ كَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.